So I have a theory. Not sure it's completely true. I'm not sure it's completely right. I'm not sure it works all the time. But my theory is that fear primarily comes from not knowing your identity, not understanding who you are, and from not trusting the one who created you in his image. So Todd's been talking about fear for several weeks now, like fear of missing out, fear of not having enough. And today we're going to talk about fear of failure and loss, which comes, our primary verse for that today is Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When Todd asked me to speak, I started thinking about what my biggest fears in life have been and immediately came up with an idea. The past year or so, several couples in Havenfield have been going through a living on mission class. And one of the exercises we did was to write a story, a gospel story, which is basically something we learned where the gospel is played out in our lives, or where we believed something that wasn't true and then came to know the truth. So I'm going to relate that story to you. Apologize to those that were in the class because they've already, most of them at least, have already heard the story. So, you know, worst case, y'all get a good nap. Or actually, maybe that's the best case. Others of you have heard part of the story. So, again, I apologize for that, using the same story over and over again. But, you know, I can use the excuse that I'm getting old. And Jan and I are always going, did I tell you such and such? And the answer is usually, I don't know, I forget. Tell me again. So I'm going to tell you again. And the rest of you are just clueless anyway. So I was raised in the most normal family you could possibly have. I was the youngest of four. My brothers and sisters were okay. Oh, they were good. We had our moments. The bottom line is, we mostly loved each other. We mostly got along great. Now we are very close and love each other very much. And I attribute a lot of that to the way our parents raised us. And my parents were fantastic. I mean, they were really great. And they modeled for me what I thought was an ideal marriage. I mean, they loved each other. They loved their children. They worked hard. They were kind. They were giving. I mean, they weren't perfect. I mean, like most parents, they argued. I remember there were times when my mother would get so angry. I mean, she would just be shaking. She was so mad. My parents usually tried to go in the next room and close the door so they wouldn't bother us. But, you know, it's not like they were trying to hide it because we could hear what they were saying. But my father never let her walk away mad. So he would grab hold of her when she tried to walk away, and he'd just hold her until she stopped shaking. And then they would just hug. And of course, you knew everything was going to be fine. So I learned from them. I learned what an almost perfect marriage looked like. And that marriage lasted for something like 40 years until my mother died of cancer. I learned a lot about marriage from my church as well. I was raised in a fairly conservative church. Most of you know it, Dawson. I went to Dawson all my life. My parents said I was born in University Hospital. I really think I was kind of born in the church, you know, right there on the front porch, because front pew. We were at church. Doors were open. We were there, no matter how much I wanted to stay home on Sunday nights and watch Bonanza. But Dawson taught me a lot of rules of marriage. By the way, I'm not saying anything disparaging about Dawson. I loved Dawson as I was growing up. I still love it. It's a great church. But, you know, you learn some things. So I learned that divorce is a sin. That if you're having trouble with your marriage, you're just not trying hard enough or doing the right things. And that marriage should last a lifetime. Marriage has to last a lifetime. And that's the way it's designed. And those rules were being lived out by my parents. So, you know, I had a pretty fixed idea of what marriage should be like. So I modeled my life after my parents. I chose a similar career to my father. I married a wonderful girl. We were mostly happy. We had three wonderful children, none of which are my favorites, no matter what they will each tell you. So I was living life and conducting my marriage like my parents and like the church told me I should, and like I thought it was supposed to work. I remember I went to, I was invited to go to a seminar for men. It's mostly about how to be a good husband, a good father. And it was a little bit strange because I knew this guy, but not very well. And he was pretty insistent that I go. I mean, he was persuasive and like, you really need to go and I'll come pick you up and all this stuff. And I was like, okay, let's not sure why he thinks it's so important, but he does. And I think God had a part in that. So I'm sitting there listening to this guy talk about how to be a good husband and all the things you should do to be a good husband. And I'm like, yeah, I may not be a perfect husband, but I do most of these things. I'm a good husband and I've got a good marriage and my marriage is going to last forever. The thought that it wouldn't just didn't exist in my mind. So you know how when you think things are going to go a certain way, and you just know they're going to go a certain way, and you're kind of proud of that, and you're a little bit arrogant about that, and God says, uh-uh, no, I got different plans. It just happens all the time, doesn't it? And I'm pretty sure God does not like arrogance, and he doesn't like pride. I mean, you can find scripture about pride all through the Bible. Two of them, Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. And Obadiah 1:3, the pride of your hearts has deceived you, you who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? I mean, that verse is taken a little bit out of context, which is sometimes a little dangerous, but it shows where my thinking was, where my heart was. Who can bring me down to the ground? God can, and I can help him. So I know that God was sending me a message during that seminar. I know that now. I wasn't listening then. Because it wasn't a month or two later that things started to change. Actually, they had already changed. I just wasn't paying attention. And I won't go into the details what happened. It's not important. It's long and complicated and lasted many years. But bottom line is I became more and more involved in my career, more and more involved with my children, and less involved in my marriage to the point that I neglected it. I mean, I was doing good things. I was working at a good job. I was teaching Sunday school. I was coaching. All the good things, right? But that wasn't where God wanted me to put my priorities, and I wasn't listening. So my wife became disillusioned with the happy suburban lifestyle and the illusion of a happy marriage, and we fell apart. And that wasn't the way it was supposed to work. My marriage was dying. And I couldn't do anything to stop it, no matter how hard I tried. And I tried. I tried really hard, and she tried. We hung on desperately for years. I felt like sometimes that something was wrong with me, because why would I want to stay in a marriage that wasn't working? But marriages are supposed to last a lifetime. I couldn't get divorced. There were times when I cried out to God. I mean, I even yelled at him in anger. I begged, please, God, don't do this to me. Don't do this to my children. And there were times I had this strong feeling that God was kind of sitting up there with a smile on his face and kind of shaking his head like a father would do to an ignorant son. And he was kind of saying, okay, I'll give you a little bit more time, but this marriage wasn't meant to last. I've got other plans for you. And oh, by the way, I'm going to take care of you. I didn't care about any of that. I didn't care what his plans were. I didn't care that he didn't trust that he was going to take care of me. I just wanted the marriage to last. And the strangest thing would happen after those God whispers. The marriage would get better for a little while. But it didn't last forever. Finally, my wife told me that she couldn't do it anymore and needed to move on, and I knew it was time. But I was devastated. My marriage had failed. I had failed. I was a failure. Who was I supposed to be if I wasn't married? It wasn't supposed to happen that way. How could I serve God if my marriage had failed? So I was alone and afraid. What happened to get me to that point? Why was I in that state of mind? What was I thinking? Well, back to the theory. I had tied my identity to being married. I had forgotten that God loves me no matter what. I didn't think that I could serve God if I wasn't married. And I certainly didn't trust God to take care of me. But God did take care of me. The day my wife left, I came home from work and all three of my children were at home cooking dinner. And I just sat in the car and cried. Because God immediately started taking care of me. I mean, and it was amazing, all the things that happened that God was using to take care of me. He restored me. He started to heal the pain. And he even began shaping my views of being single. And being single is not such a bad thing after all. I mean, there's advantages to it. As long as you have relationships. And I had my kids. I had some really good friends. I was making more friends. And I had God. So I realized then that I had an opportunity to serve God in ways that I couldn't before. I mean, now I was single, nobody was really dependent on me anymore. My kids were mostly grown and mostly out of the house. Not quite, but mostly. I had a good job, and I was no longer working so hard to save my marriage that I couldn't really do anything else. So I prayed, God, use me. What do you want me to do? Here I am. And God said, nothing. Strangely quiet. God can be that way sometimes. And then my best friend introduced me to Judy. And Judy and I were perfect together. I mean, it was weird how perfect we were together. We liked the same things. We had the same goals. I realize now, looking back on it, that we had to be perfect together because we had to create a pretty strong bond. So we fell in love and we got married. Yes, God gave me a second chance at marriage. And I figured maybe that's why God was quiet about what he wanted me to do, because he was waiting for me to marry Judy. And so now Judy and I could work together. We could serve together. So I prayed again, God, what would you have us do? Are we going to work in a homeless shelter? Are we going to work with teenagers? What do you want us to do? We're here. Use us. And God said, nothing. Strangely quiet again. And I kept having this feeling that surely there must be another reason for Judy and I to get married than to just have fun. And we were having lots of fun. There was another reason. 6 months after we were married, Judy was diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma. And it became immediately clear to me what God's plans were for me. Homeless shelter, teenagers, nope. It was to walk through this time of life with Judy. Judy fought. She fought like really hard. So much pain. But the cancer was too much, and a year later, she died. I mean, I went through some difficult things in my first marriage, but nothing that hard. But God was always there. He was always by my side. Sometimes I couldn't tell that he was there. Sometimes it was all I could do just to hang on. Sometimes during the darkest time, I would get a text message from a friend, for example. He would say, thinking of you today, praying about for you, what can I do for you? And I just would cry because I would thank God for his message. When Judy got sick, she told me that that wasn't what I signed up for and that she would understand if I were to leave. Well, I already knew that you don't run away from a marriage when things get hard. So that never even entered my mind. And I still believed that marriage was meant to last a lifetime. In this case, Judy's lifetime. So like my father before me, when my mother got sick, I had the honor and privilege of taking care of Judy while she was sick and holding her hand when she died. And all that time, God was teaching me about marriage, that marriage should not only honor God, but should honor your wife as well, that you don't have to be married to serve God, that marriage can be temporary, and that's okay, because my identity wasn't tied to my marriage anymore. And he taught me that I am a child of God, whether or not I'm married. So at this point, you might think that I would lose faith in marriage. But it was different this time. I was learning to have faith in God and not my marriage. Began to trust that God would take care of me. Even when I couldn't see his plans. Even when I thought his plans were going to be different or should be different. My first marriage, I mean, it had moments of excruciating anxiety and emotional pain. But there were also many years of love and good times. We produced 3 wonderful children and 5 fabulous grandchildren. And we're still friends today. And while my second marriage only lasted a year and a half, and had a very painful ending, I wouldn't trade that time with Judy for anything. So now I kind of tweaked the theory, kind of modified it a little bit. Fear fades. It doesn't go away completely. I mean, we are just human after all. But it does fade when you remember who you are, when you remember your identity as a child of God, and especially when you trust and obey. God was changing me during all that time. He brought me a better understanding of who I am. I'm more open to new opportunities, new experiences. I realize how short life is and how when God gives you opportunities, you don't pass them up. You don't ignore them. I'm much closer to God now than I ever was. And I consider myself to be extremely blessed. You want to know the most amazing thing about all this? I mean, it's just incredible. God's given me a new wife. It kind of chokes me up to think about it. Why would he be so good to me? The woman I loved as a friend in high school, I get to love now very deeply as a wife and a partner. I mean, if you know Jan, many of you do, you know what a wonderful, fabulous person she is, and I get to have that. I get to help her be the best child of God she can be. And yes, I get to hold her hand as she goes through cancer and struggles with her own fears. But it just blows my mind that I get to have it again. God is great. So even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Dear God, you put us in a world that's hard. We struggle. And yet you bring such beauty and such joy. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you. Help us to remember who we are. And everything will fall into place. In Jesus' name, amen.